Say amen. Yeah. All right. I've been challenged, and I want y'all to know you guys are holding me to it, so all I got to do is just let y'all know what it is. I've been challenged to be down in 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So all of them now your part is I'm asking you to stay perked for 15 minutes. Can y'all do that? Amen. Say amen if you can. Amen. All right. So let's look at our word then. Again, what we want to look at from the judges is give us a thought moving into 2018. And you see the title on this afternoon is, it should be, he called it Jehovah Shalom. Not they called it, but he called it. But that's fine. We'll work with that text there. But again, I just want to, when I get to the word Jehovah Shalom, define what that means and let us look at the year that we're going into from the Word of God and how the Word of God can take us. Amen? But I want to begin by saying from Judges, and that's 6 and verse 9 if someone is following me, let us remember that the Lord delivered us all in the year 2017. He delivered us from the storm that they named Harvey. He also delivered us from our those that may have had financial challenges. The Lord delivered us. Even those that have our health issues, it was God who rescued us during those times. Amen? So the fact that you are here in the state that you're in or the condition that you're in right now allows us to give thanks to God, because in Judges 6 verse 9, brother, what did the Bible say? God said to the people of Israel,
and I deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians,
mm-hmm.
and out of the hand of all that oppress you,
yeah.
and drave them out from before you,
yeah.
and gave you their land.
So what God was telling them is what God is telling us. God is letting us know, God told the Israelites, I'm the one that delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I'm saying to all of us, God is the one that delivered us in 2017. We take no credit, but we're thankful to God for that. And then in verse number 11, Brother Oz, if you'll start there.
And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite.
Mm-hmm.
And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites.
So he said the angel of the Lord had came to Gideon. And what Gideon was doing was out there with the wheat, and he was hiding the wheat from his enemy, was the Midianites. Read.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
So again, we want to know as Christians that the Lord is with us. The Lord, he said, the angel told him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And the word valor means to have that which is courage. It allows us to face difficulties with firmness. So all of us in 2018 need to be men and women of valor. And the valor part is that we have the courage to face the difficulties that may be with us in 2018. Amen? And he said, and Gideon said unto him,
O my Lord,
uh-huh.
if the Lord be with us,
yeah.
why then is all this befallen us?
Mm-hmm.
And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of,
yeah.
saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.
Yeah, so now, if we're not careful, we can be like Gideon, where Gideon said, Lord, if the Lord is with us, why did the storm come to Houston? Why did all of this come if the Lord be with us? And we can say, has he not befallen us? And what about all the things that God was supposed to do in our lives? He said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. And if we're not careful as a Christian, sometimes we can have the mindset that because things are going bad, that the Lord is not with us. But I want to say this, Christians should not measure the presence of God with them by their situations or circumstances. Yeah, see, you don't look at what's going on with you and measure whether God is with you or not. Amen. Because God sometimes allows all of us to go through things. How can I understand the peace unless I have a what? a valley. So sometimes God allows for things to come in our lives that we can look up and be thankful to God. And then verse 14.
And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?
Yeah, so now understand this here from verse 14, just giving us thoughts today. God works through people. Amen. If we're going to be a congregation here that's going to move in 2018, God needs to work through each of us. Notice he said, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt. Notice God was said, I'm going to use you to save the people of Israel. And my challenge to all of us is that let God use us in our ministries in 2018. Amen? And he said unto him,
O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.
Yeah, now, from this thought, I want to say, don't you measure your value to the Lord by your situation or circumstances. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, well, I ain't got much. God can use you in whatever state or condition you're in if you're willing to give yourself to the Lord. And the Lord said unto him,
surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.
Read.
And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me.
Now, so what he wanted was he wanted to see from the Lord. He said, now if I have found grace in thy sight, he said, show me a sign that thou talkest to me. Now, we know from 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, so we don't base our lives on what we can see. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we're not like Gideon, where Gideon needed God to show him something. We're Christians. We're children of God. We walk by faith, Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and not by sight. And then verse 18, I'm doing this in 15 minutes, a world record. Go ahead, brother. I know it. Don't be saying that. Go ahead, brother. You got it. Verse 18.
Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee,
and
bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again.
So God told him, don't leave. Just wait for me. Read.
And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it.
Read.
And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so.
Read.
Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
And when Gideon perceived
that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.
And the Lord then said unto him,
peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die.
So God said, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. In the final verse, verse 24.
Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Until this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Abizarites.
Okay, so let me close with my thought. After God had done what he had done for Gideon, the Lord told him in verse 23, he said, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 20, as I come to a close. For 2018, let us have a mindset that Gideon had and what the Lord told him. The Lord told him that peace be with thee. He said, don't fear. You're not going to die. And then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. And the word Jehovah means the Lord. Shalom means is peace. So what Gideon was saying in his altar was that God is the Lord, or the God of peace. And then in Hebrews 13, 20, the Bible says what about God?
Now the God of peace
that
brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of their everlasting covenant.
So now, what the Hebrew writer said is what Gideon is saying. Gideon said that God is the God of peace. And what the Hebrew writer said, he said, now the God of peace. And the word peace, when you look at it from a biblical understanding, peace describes the relationship between two parties. That's what peace means. In this case, what we're talking about now is, as a Christian, your relationship with God. We're talking about how God is able, through Jesus. He says here, he that brought us, that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was that great shepherd of the sheep, who we are the sheep, and it was done through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So as I close this afternoon, we have the God of peace going into 2018. Amen. And that peace is, we ought to have a relationship with God that is one of peace. And that relationship can only be disturbed when we are not obedient to God. But when we are obedient to God, then we have that relationship that the Hebrew writer said that God is a God of peace. So my point to us going into 2018 is, let us strive in 2018 for the peace that God offers those of us that are his. All of us can have the peace of mind. And again, as I said, it doesn't matter about the difficulty that we're going to face. We didn't know that the storm was coming in August of 2017, but the storm came. But those of us that have those men and women of valor, those men and women that don't have confidence in themselves, but we know that God is going to see us through, those people are able to rise up in 2018 and have that relationship with God that God wants us to have. And then if you're here this afternoon and you're not, stay in Hebrews, Brother Owens, get from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. If you're here this afternoon and you have not obeyed Christ, you can't have this peace that I'm talking about until you become a child of God. It is impossible. What you need to know is what God did for you in showing his love to bring about peace, that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 2, Brother Owens, and verse number 9, the Bible talks about Jesus. But we see Jesus,
who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
So what you need to know, if you're here this afternoon, is that God loved you enough, he loved me enough, that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. And what Jesus did, the Bible says, he suffered death and he tasted death for every man. Jesus died for the sins that we had done. None of us could do enough to remove the sin, because God needed someone that was sinless to die for the sinful. And Jesus was that person that died for the sinful. All of us was without God. And so Jesus came and died for us. And he died. He suffered on the cross, nails in his hands, I don't want to escape that, and nails in his feet for 6 hours, and he died on that cross. They buried him in a tomb. He rose up the third day, never to die again. He did that for you and me. And so someone may say, well, Brother Stroud, what is it that I need to do in response to that? Well, the fact that God loved you enough that Jesus died for you showed his love for you. And the way you show love toward God, John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the commandment from God is that one, to become a child of God, one must hear the gospel, which I've just told you about, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day, never to die again. You must believe that. And then what you must do is repent of your sins. Repent means, however I've been thinking, or however I've been living, and whichever way I've been walking, now I'm going to turn to Christ. I'm going to face Christ, and I'm going to walk toward Christ. And then we make a confession. The confession we make is found in Acts 8:37, where the eunuch, before he was going to be baptized, he made the statement, and he confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So you made the confession of what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make that confession, and then we are water. You need to be water baptized for the remission of all your sin. And what the Lord does now, he adds you to the Church of Christ, the only one that you can read about in the Bible. But then in Hebrews 3 and 7 and 8, Brother Oz, we may have someone here that may be sitting there, and I want to say to you, don't be as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 3, 7, and 8. He said, "Wherefore,
as the Holy Ghost said,
yeah,
today if ye will hear his voice,
yeah,
harden not your hearts, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness."
Yeah, so what I'm saying to you now, if you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, the Bible says today, not tomorrow, not next week, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In other words, don't allow your heart to become callous to the fact that I've shared with you from God's word what God's word has instructed you to do. And now it's on you now that you don't wait till another day, because another day may not be promised. Jesus suffered and died on the cross at Calvary that we might become children of God through obedience to the gospel. And you can only obey the gospel by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sin, making the statement of Jesus Christ, Son of God, then being water baptized, and baptism is for the remission of all your past sin. Then the Lord, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the Church of Christ, and now you're a member of the Lord's church. You are now a child of God, and now you can have that peace that God only gives to those that are children of his. If there's anyone today that would like to obey the gospel, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn.